Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Another live prophetic talk show where we do it more than talk about it. All right. I don't know what happened. I think we lost. Had to restart the show for some weird reason. So you're going to have to call back in. And sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. All right. It's Wednesday night. And a bunch of people just got kicked off because they had to start the show over. And, all right, so we're going to go with that. All right. Okay, let me do something here. All right. Okay. All right, if people call back in, we will just kind of go here. All right, thank you for being here tonight, and we are in the prophetic place where we want to speak and minister to you and prophesy to you and speak the word of the Lord over you tonight. So you ready? Go ahead and when you call into the show, make sure you click 1 on your phone to get into the prayer queue so we can make sure and pray over you. And so make sure and do that. That way it shows that you want prayer. You're not just listening. Somebody would like to listen, and we don't bother them or mess with them. Let them listen in their own privacy. And so if you want to get prayer, or we're not going to be talking tonight, because I'm going to be prophesying to everybody, but just go ahead and click 1 on your phone, especially when you call into the show. And it says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Click 1 on your phone right there. As soon as that lady says, the automated voice says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, click 1 on your phone, and that puts you in the automated place. And okay. All right. Very, very good. Go here. Okay, let's go here. Give me a second. I had a little problem here. All right, so if you, a lot of people, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. All right, we're here. Praise God. all right, I think people are starting to call back in. And okay. All right, so my computer's messing up on me or something here. I keep trying this until we get it all right. Okay. There's some of the people that say that they're on, but I don't see them, so you might have to text me. I'll call your number pretty soon. I only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 or 6. I have 6 people on, 5 people on, actually makes me, with their hand up, and a lot of people, I think I lost you because I had to restart the show. And even though it sounds like you're still on, I'm going to call it your numbers, and that way you'll know if you're actually on the right show or not, because something just happened. All right, 585, you're on. 402, 214, you're on. 484, you're on. 478, you are on. 847, you are on. 608, you are on. 619, you're on. 754, you're on. 402, you're on. 843, you're on. And 831, you're on. And that's all I have. So if you're hearing me and I didn't call your number, that means that you need to call back in, and I will put you in line where you were. So, trust me on that. I don't know why that's happening, but give me a second here. Okay, anyway, if you hear me, and Michael says he can hear me, but I do not see him on there, you might have to call back in again. I apologize for that. Something went wrong with the show, and so I had to get over, start, kind of re-click. Some things were messed up. Yes, Sharon, you're on. I see you. Okay, let's start off here. Okay, I think everybody got back on. Thank you. everybody got back on. We had a little mix-up there. All right, praise God. Thank you for okay, Nikki, you can hear me, but okay, you can hear me. What happened is, I don't even know, I've never had this happen before. Somehow, in other words, you're not on, so you need to hang up and call back in, Nikki. Sorry about that. Something just went weird with the system for a minute, and everybody that was on there got lost. And so you have to call back in. I tried that once, got some from health food store. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Welcome. Well, I want to share some things with you tonight real quick about some things that the Lord has really been dealing with me about. Overall, that the body of Christ, his God has come to help us get free of some things. And one of them is that something that I think we all do, I think everybody does it to a certain degree, and that is we misjudge people. And maybe we see some fruit in their life and we judge them as being somehow, you know, messed up. I don't know how many people I thought have been messed up because I see the fruit. Some fruit that I see, and I don't think that my fruit is as bad as their fruit, or their fruit is as good as my fruit. So, therefore, I judge them of, you know, not being as fruitful as me or something. And you see some things that they have issues with, and you judge them of it, and so it causes, you know, some problems. And I'm going to share that with you tonight, some things that have been showing me. This is for all of us. It's not just for the really the less spiritual people. This is for everybody because we all have flesh. We're all human beings, and it's one of the things that okay, Mark 847. Yes, 847. Yeah, you are in, Mark. All right, the people that have their hand up is now Nikki 863. I'm starting at the bottom. I'm starting at the bottom, going up. 863-484-402-919-847-972-212-940-325-202-478-402-and-214. That's actually me. And so I did that upside down, basically. But okay, so I'm glad you guys made it. I had a little issue, and we got it fixed now, so maybe we can move on here. So here's something that the Lord has really been showing me. There's different levels of condemnation, and I'm going to talk about condemnation now because it's probably, I think it is the greatest tool that the enemy uses to get us to be condemned. And condemned means to be shut down or not functional. So I think there's some of us have areas of our lives shut down so we're not flowing in the fullness of what God wants us to flow. I don't know anybody's flowing in the fullness yet. So what God gives me, he gives me these understandings and gives me a word of knowledge or prophetic revelation on things that are hindering us from moving fully in the full development of our mind and the mind of Christ, and fully developing the spiritual gifts that God's given us, fully developing our ministries and our callings and our anointings. And one of the major things I've talked about is condemnation. I'm not going to talk about condemnation like I usually do. I'm going to talk about it in a little bit different way tonight, so please hear me what the Lord's saying, because one of the reasons that a lot of people don't, when it comes to ministering to people, what's our ministry about? It's about ministering to people, for the most part. I can prophesy and give words about the government and about, you know, what's happening in the conspiracy world and all that kind of thing. And that's not really ministering to people in that state. But when it comes to actually seeing miracles with people and having your ministry flow fully to as fully effective as we can, that ministry for the most of us, for the most part for us, is for individuals or for ministering to people and watching God use us and show us things that he wants to do. And God cannot show us secrets. Now, listen to me. I'm going to take you to the secret place tonight in a way maybe you've never been, and talk to you about the secret place and the secret realm. Because there is a secret realm of God that God lets very few people enter into that secret realm. You can be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, pray every day, get in the Word every day, you know, and be a good Christian, a really, you know, solid good Christian, and not enter into what I'm calling the different kinds of secret places. The secret place I'm talking about tonight is the place where secrets are. Secrets. Your secrets. My secrets. Everybody's secrets. Things that only God knows. Only God knows. And only Jesus knows. And only the Holy Spirit knows. Only they know some of those things. And the reason that we are not able to help people get through those secret things, those things that are messing with them. Some people have hidden sin. Maybe a lot of times it's sin that they did, you know, years ago, and they just never got it out in the open or whatever. But God knows about that. He knows about every detail of it. But the difference between God knowing it and Jesus knowing about our sins and our secrets is that he doesn't come to judge us. When he walked on the earth, he said, "I'm not coming to judge. I'm coming to save." And we're still in that place. We're still in the place where God has come not to judge, but to save. As far as, say, you're guilty and you're going to hell. You know, Jesus said, "I came because I want to cleanse and wash away the secrets. I want to cleanse and wash away the things that you could never tell anybody. Me, you, all of us. Things that you feel so shameful about. Some people may have done a lot worse than you have, but you feel really shameful about those things. And it's really scary, and it truly is a scary thing." And so the reason that Jesus knew everything about every person that he needed to, the reason God was able to show Jesus the secrets, because he dwelt in the secret place. The secret place is a very special place. It's a place where there's no judgment. It's a place where there's no condemnation. The Bible says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Right? So we know that. And so because there's no condemnation in Christ, and there truly wasn't any condemnation, he didn't come to condemn people. He didn't come to judge them. He came to save them. Judgment in the sense of, you know, judging them as, okay, the woman who was caught in adultery, this judgment should have been, according to the law, that they stone her. Well, when they got to stone her, stone everybody else that stoned her. But truly, he says, yes, under the law, she's guilty. Her secret was exposed and brought out into the wide open before the whole religious community, and they had documented facts of her secret affair she was having with some man committing adultery. And where the guy was, I don't know. Maybe he was the one throwing the rocks. He could have been out there. Who knows? But she had this secret, and now it was being exposed. And Jesus made the most beautiful statement of the way I see him in this hour, in this season, in this time with you and I. And that is, which one of you that are accusing this woman have no sin? Jesus was creating a throne room like in the book of Acts, throne room. And the throne room that he created in that moment when they came, because he was the throne room of God. He was the access to the throne room of God. But the throne room of God was doing what Jesus was doing. And that is, looked at all those who were throwing the rocks, saying, which one of you have no sin? And, of course, one by one, they all dropped their rock, they dropped their stone, and they walked away. And he said to the woman, where are your accusers? You know, that's something where it wasn't a secret, really, to Jesus. He didn't get that by revelation from the secret realm. He got it from people exposing her secret in that particular case. And so because Jesus said, yes, under the law, she should be stoned, but I come to save. That's over. I come to fulfill that. I am come now that people like her can be washed and cleansed of their sin and changed and be forgotten. God forgets. That's what we know about memory, because God says he doesn't remember your sin. He cast it as far as the east is from the west. He does not remember it anymore. And then there are sins that Jesus had revealed to him about Judas. Let's talk about Judas, since everybody knows about Judas. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him long before he did. God showed him. He knew it when he picked him. I don't know if he got a word of knowledge. I don't know. But I believe that because Jesus lived in the secret place, he could look right into the hearts of his disciples, and he knew which ones were going to betray him and which ones were going to be loyal and faithful. He knew the ones that were going to deny him. He knew the ones that were going to have that had issues. He knew their issues. Why? Because he lived in the secret place. They didn't tell him their issues, like the previous situation where the woman was busted by the leaders and they exposed her. This was a whole different kind of thing going on. And the reason that God trusted Jesus to show him that Judas was going to betray him and that Judas's heart was not good and of God, and yet he could still love him and call him friend, was because Jesus lived in the secret place where the secrets were. Nobody knew about Judas, but Jesus did. The Father knew. The Holy Spirit knew, because they were in the secret realm, and Jesus lived in the secret realm. Therefore, he knew the secrets of Judas. He knew every secret of every one of them. And yet, he says, even though, just like the woman who was caught in adultery and her secret was exposed, I didn't come to stone people and to judge them and kill them for their sins. Though my father gave Moses those laws, I am now come, and now that I have come, I've come with the power to change a life. Therefore, you don't have to kill them. Now we get them saved. Getting them saved is what wipes away their sins, where they don't have to. They don't have that genetic code inside them anymore of adultery and lust and alcohol or whatever the thing is. Those things now can be changed. People could change now. The reason they killed people in the Old Testament and God said kill them all was because there was no chance of them being able to change back then. So he had to have them destroy a whole tribe of whoever they were, the bad people, the enemies of God, the Philistines, whoever they were. Because there was no chance of redemption. There was no changing. So they went to when they died, they went to the holding tank. And when Jesus died on the cross, they were all held in that holding tank. And once he paid the price on the cross, he went to the holding tank where they were. And he preached the gospel to them. And a lot of people raised their hands in that place and got saved. Right? Because they were in the holding tank. And so now that Jesus has come, he didn't come to say, oh, I see you are a murderer. So because you're a murderer, we're going to do eye for an eye. You took somebody's life, now we're going to take your life. No, Jesus said, that's all changing. Now I've come to change you. I've come to take the murder out of your heart to deliver you, to set you free, to wash you and cleanse you and make you a new person. That's what Jesus, that was the difference between the law and Jesus. And Jesus revealed it when they brought to him the law. They were under the law. They were actually obeying the law by bringing her to stone her. That was under the law. That was what the law said to do, God's law. And yet Jesus, even though he was still, while the law was still active, he was changing that as he stood there and said, which one of you hath no sin? He was changing it. He was showing, I've come for a different purpose. I didn't come to judge and condemn people, to condemn them. Condemn means to shut you down, kill you, stone you. You pluck somebody's eye out, we're going to pluck your eye out. The reason that the law had that is because that kept people, the fear of God on people, that if you pluck somebody's eye out, man, they're going to pluck your eye out. That's what it's going to be, because, you know, that way you'll have fear and you won't be plucking somebody's eye out. But Jesus said, I'm going to change all that. I'm going to change the heart where you're not going to want to pluck somebody's eye out. Where you're not going to want to steal and cheat and lie. You're not going to want to do that. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to change your DNA. I'm going to change your mind. I'm going to change your thought processes. I'm going to change who you are. I'm going to make you a new creature in Christ. That's what I've come for. And the Pharisees and those under the law didn't understand that. And when you dwell in the secret place, friend, you know what? The only way you can dwell in the secret place, but where the secrets are, where God can show you the secrets of men, where you can walk up to somebody and know what's in their heart, their deepest secrets, is only those who have no condemnation. Only those that are just like Jesus, that didn't, we don't come to, we got so many judges out there that are judging in the wrong kind of way. Instead of judging righteously, they're judging unrighteously. They're judging people, they're condemning people. They're judging people in a sense like Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it. In other words, judging meaning condemn them to their doom before doing what they did. And Jesus says, I'm looking for the people that will live in the secret place, and the only way you can live in the secret place to know people's secrets, friend, their most hidden things, the things that are hidden in them that no man can see, but only God. And the only reason that Jesus was able to see was because he had no condemnation in him. There's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And when you and I get a hold of that, we're going to quit condemning people too, you and I. And when we learn to not condemn people and even condemn our, because friend, when you condemn somebody else, you come under condemnation. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, I'm going to read it to you. When you judge somebody, you may not say you think you're judging somebody, but when you're judging somebody, you come under condemnation. I'm going to read it to you. Romans 2, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Because you judge, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. Maybe not exactly the same thing, but you may not be committing adultery, but you may be lying or gossiping. So sin is sin, right? So you may not be committing some sexual sin, some perversion, but you may be a gossiper. So you're a gossiper, and you don't think your sins is bad. We don't think our sins, the gossipers, is as bad as an adulterer or a thief or a liar. So we judge them, and we think ourselves to be more righteous than them. And yet Jesus said, which one of you hath no sin? What was he saying? He says, I live in the secret place, and I've come to open up the secret place to my people. And the secret place is there's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus came even to the world, not to judge the world. He came to the world to say, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. And he's looking for a people that will live in the secret place where, just like Jesus, when they see, if they were to see the secret of some horrible secret of somebody and be able to walk up to them and look in their heart and see their most horrible hidden secrets that nobody knows but them. They've never told anybody. And you walked up to them, and by the Spirit of God, you saw it. You would only be able to see that, friend, if you live in the no condemnation zone, the no judgment zone, the no condemnation zone, the secret place. Very few people live in the secret place. Very few people can be trusted with people's sins. Very few people can be trusted with them. Because once they get mad at them, once they do something they don't like, they disagree with them on something. Well, you know, I know something, you know, but, you know, I mean, you know, God's trying to help all of us. If you want to be trusted with the secret things of God, even with his revelations, even with the secret things that God has not shared with people, friend, you must learn to live in that secret place where there is no condemnation, and you don't condemn somebody because they sin something that thinks worse than your sin. And until we enter into that place, until we start living in the no condemnation zone, not just for ourselves, but for others, we will not be able to see the secrets of God. We will not be able to. You think God's going to show his secrets to people who want to uncover the secrets of other people and expose them? Who are begging God for forgiveness and wishing to God they'd never done those things? No, God's looking for a people. He's looking for the secret place people. And when he finds them, he's going to open up all the secrets. The secret place is going to be a place where God reveals his secrets to the prophets. Remember, the Bible talks about the prophets, where God reveals his secrets to the prophets. Well, that's not just any prophet. That's the prophets who live in no condemnation zone. Now, I guarantee you, you know, I'm sure that I live in some condemnation zone myself, and there's some areas of my life that I don't, that I live in a no condemnation zone. Therefore, God can show me his secrets, but you know what? I'm not there completely. God's doing a work in me, too. I want to live 100%, 100%, not 30, not 60, 100% in the secret place with God, that God can trust me with the secrets. When God says, hey, Randy, guess what so-and-so did? And he tells me, I'm going like, oh, wow. I mean, I did some bad stuff, but I never did anything like that. God, what are we going to do about this? He said, I just wanted you to know, Randy, because I can trust you with a secret, so you can pray for them and love them. And when you enter to the secret place, friend, and you find out somebody has a deeper sin than you, maybe a lot deeper sin than you, you know what? Jesus, it drew more compassion out of him. The more sin you have, the more grace abounds. So when you live in the secret place, the grace of God abounds in you. Why? Because the more you see sin in somebody's life, the more God gives you grace to pray for them, to believe for them, to not judge them, to not condemn them. And when you do, the Bible says, when you condemn others, when you do that, and I think we all do to a certain degree, some more than others, the Bible says in Romans 2:1 that we condemn ourselves. So it's a whole other level of condemnation. When we're willing to condemn somebody else for their stuff, because it's worse than ours, oh, I've never done that before. I've said that many times. God says, Randy, I want to trust you with my secrets, but you got to be like Jesus and learn how to live in the no condemnation zone, the no judgment zone. I'm talking about unrighteous judgment. And if you'll live there, I will bless you. I will show you all kinds of secrets, because people sometimes need their secrets revealed privately and brought to the open so that they can get them forgiven, and knowing that they're standing before somebody who's just like Jesus. Friend, is that you and me? I hope so. I hope that's what you want. Can God trust you with somebody's worst secrets, with their most hidden, shameful secrets? Can he trust you with them? Or will you go try to shame them? Yeah. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 10:11-13 says, "Now all these things have happened to them, to us as examples, and they were written on our for our admonition." Talking about the old, under the old covenant and all the things they went through and the mistakes they made and the failures that Israel made and going around and around the mountain and failing and sinning and making mistakes. It says that's for our example to look at that and judge ourselves by saying, you know, I think I'm just like that. I'm going around and around, so I'm just like Israel. How can I condemn Israel and criticize Israel for going around and around the mountain like a bunch of fools when I'm doing the same thing myself? Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, let him who or her who thinks she or he stands, take heed lest he or she fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:11-13. Therefore, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Friend, I'm just seeing more and more and more this whole realm of the secret realm where God can share his power with you, his glory with you. God shares his glory with those he can trust. Not just trust in giving him the glory for what he does for you, but trust him with somebody's sins. Trust him with showing you the deepest, darkest parts of somebody's heart and loving them even more so when you see it instead of like, oh, God, yuck. Instead of that, we fall on our faces in compassion and mercy and ask God to have mercy and compassion on that person who's sinning, who has sinned. Maybe they've not done that sin, but it's hidden within them, and they don't quite know what to do with it. And it still shames them. They still live in the shame of it. You see what I'm saying, friend? You see what the Holy Spirit's saying to us tonight? I really feel like that somebody's hearing this tonight and going, yeah, I want to be a secret place person. I want to be able to be trusted with the secrets of man's sins. The only time Jesus ever shamed a religious leader is when he was trying to shame other people. That's the only time. Paul the Apostle talked about people who had fallen away from God, gave their names. But he wasn't condemning them. He was broken in heart over them, but had to warn people because they once were his friends, and now they weren't. And now he had to tell them, those people, and he gave their names, those people are not my friends anymore. They now hate the cross of Calvary. They resist the cross. So there's times that things are exposed, but you have to understand why he did it. And God is looking for a people who will trust, he can trust with his secrets. Whatever those secrets are, whether it's about somebody else or you or the secrets of the kingdom. And that's why Jesus flowed in such unlimited revelation, friend. It's because of that. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, well, let's take callers tonight. And I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I just thank you tonight that your people, all of us, including me, God, we want to live in that secret place, God, where we don't condemn people. We don't stand there and judge them. When we've got maybe a little sin, they've got a big sin, we're comparing our sins and judging them instead of having compassion. and mercy and grace. God, I thank you for opening our hearts and letting us see and live in the secret place, God, so that you can trust us with your secrets, secrets with money. Can God trust you with money, the secrets of money? Can he trust you with the secrets of the market? Can he trust you with the secrets? And what will you do with them when you get them? A lot of people say they'll do right, but when they get it, it's difficult. It's difficult. Thank you, Jesus, for opening our hearts and letting us see that you do want to trust us with the most amazing secrets of the kingdom and to help people uncover those realms of condemnation that they condemn themselves every day in the depths of their heart for what they've done. That, God, we can release them from that condemnation because we're not under condemnation. And when we're not under condemnation, we don't condemn. People who condemn are under condemnation themselves. So, God, show us how to live in no condemnation. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 All right, let's take our callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. And let's go here and take our first caller. I'm going to take the first caller, 972-695. I know some of you guys lost your place, and so we're going to work with that. All right, 972, you'll be first, and then and then 202-325. And then 402, and then 478, 912 after that, 940 after that, 847 after that, 919 after that, 484 after that, 863 after that, 619 after that, 903, 808 after that, 585 after that, 585-435. And then we got about three or four more, 585, and then 570 after that, 803-991 after that, 920-279 after that, 402-533 after that. And the rest of you don't have your hand up, so we'll get you as we go here. All right, let's go here to 972. 972. All right.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
All right. I know. All right. Thank you. All right, Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, for Terrence and Tanisha. God, I thank you for Tanisha. God, I thank you, Lord, for the trembling, the trembling. I see a trembling inside you, like trembling before God, like a loving, worshipful awe, fear, and love before the Father. Wow, I mean, I feel this. It just went all over my legs and my arms and my body and my Lord, my God. Wow. Like a holy trembling before God. My God, I reverence you, God. I honor you, God. I see you weeping and pouring your soul out to Jesus, to the Father. Whoa, whoa, my God. Oh, Jesus. For the Lord says, I'm drawing you in, into my place, into the place, into the place. to dwell with me and to live with me. Because you'll honor me and worship me and serve me and give me all the glory, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. If you come before me and worship and praise, I'll pour my glory out on you. And you will cause, it will cause a trembling in the earth, a trembling in my people, a trembling and a reverential awe and a brokenness before God. But not my will, but thy will be done. Hosheke maha le kuri boroko boshe matara. Hallelujah. Wow, that was amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. My Lord and my God, that was amazing. Whoa, thank you, Lord. And I felt it as I said it. I don't know if it's already gone on or going on or it's happened before, but I know God's about to bring something beautiful and fresh. It's like a tender plant, like I keep hearing the word, like a tender plant. He grew up before me, and I think it's in Isaiah 53. As a tender plant, he grew up before, a tender plant, one that's tender. Whoa. Jesus, that was amazing. You talk about instant revelation, man. My God. Thank you, Jesus. And I see you like with Jesus, like with a towel, washing the feet of my people, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. To identify with them and their brokenness, to identify with them and their needs. To identify with them. There's an identifier inside of you, saith the Lord. You shall identify with my people so my people can pass over, can walk over, pass over those things that have stopped many from entering in. Thank you, Jesus. It's the anointing for entrance. Entrance. Knock and you shall, it shall be, you shall enter. Knock and you shall enter in Jesus' name. Knock and you shall enter. Hallelujah. Oh, knock and it shall be open. Knock and it is open. Hallelujah. Shekero bawa. Seku mariki. Shekarwa de mochela. And the trembling is in your lips and the trembling is in your mouth. The trembling is in your body and your heart, and your body is offered up to God as a living sacrifice, trembling before him in reverence and awe and love, respect for him, and it's for his mercy. Man, girl, I mean, this is poor. I can feel this down in my spirit like, wow, like a wave. My God, my Lord and my God. Whoa, dear Jesus, Meshe Kumba, Yeki Pawate, Yeho. Woo, man, I don't know if you, what was going on your end, but my end, it was like, that was amazing revelation from Jesus. Yes, and for Terrence, the revelation of Christ, like in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Christ. You know, the revelation of Christ, Terrence, has all these different things. It has, you know, a lot of things. It has judgments in it. It has the blessings of God. It has, in the end of Revelation, it has the glory of God. But it also has the judgment of the devil and the destruction of Satan, locking him up. All that's the revelation of Jesus. And it is coming. Hallelujah. And he's walking among the church, among the seven candlesticks. The revelations of Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up the floodgates of your glory. Pour out a weeping, God. Hallelujah. A weeping of the revelation of Jesus. Man, I don't know what y'all are eating tonight, but my God, it must be some heavy-duty pepperoni pizza because that's like amazing. Lamb pizza, I should say. Cheese and lamb. My God, wow, what was that? Oh, Moshe, Kale, Pale, Troli, Moli, Koli, Moli, Poli, Lari, Neri, 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 Kere, Shakwari, Koliko, Korniki, Shnkera, Pahota. Hallelujah. Wow, the spirit of revelation in the book of Revelation. The name of Jesus, seeing Jesus in all of it. Some people see Jesus only in the healing. They only see Jesus in the miracles. They don't see Jesus in the judgment. They don't see Jesus in a lot of the things, whether it's beast and all these things. But it's Christ exposing the enemy. It's Christ revealing himself in his glory. It's all of it. And when the full revelation of Christ comes, there's a full balance. We don't only see the things that Satan's going to be destroyed and we dwell on Satan. No. We see he gets exposed in Christ. The revelation of Christ reveals him, but also it reveals the victory in the end, victory all the way through, and how God strategizes all in the book of Revelation. And the Lamb of God slain. Oh, Sheke. My God. Woo, y'all must have been stayed up late last night eating some lamb pizza, because I mean that just like popped out of me like a papa top. Oh Lord. Man, I got loaded off that one. Dear Jesus. Woo! Wow, my God, my Lord and my God, like Thomas said, in Jesus' name, that's amazing. Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. Give me a minute here. Oh, hukapahel. Mishiki pachoka. Wow. Meke mako. Mali, holy, holy, poly, holy, poly, holy, poly. Did you hear that? Holy, poly. Whatever that is. Holy, poly. Holy, poly. I love the languages, man. They sound so awesome. It's amazing. All right. 202-722. Can I talk to you, friend, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
In D.C., Nicole. All right. What a great message Nicole kind of taught us on the other night. I've never heard her put something like that together. It was amazing. You know, like, my God, what are you raising up at PGN, God? It's amazing. And there's something about the tongues of angels, the tongues of men, the tongues of angels, and God giving you a tongue to communicate, to be able to communicate. You know, I don't know what all that means by communicate, if that's communicating English only, or God's going to give you communication in the spirit with angels, with all kinds of different kinds of people. But I see, you know, languages and communications and diverse languages, diverse diversities, reaching a diverse people, diversity. And all kinds of people, like the Lord says, I'm not limiting myself to a particular group. He said, I've come to reach every group, all groups, from the Satanists to the Christians to the Jews to the Muslims to everybody. The Lord says, I've taken the limits off. I'm going to let you communicate the language of love to all my people. Because many of them, they're serving God as a Muslim. They really love, they love me, saith the Lord. But they don't understand that they're not serving me. I'm going to use you to connect them, to open up their eyes, to let them see who they're really serving. With love, though, with compassion, I know you love God, but Jesus is the answer. And they don't look at you like you're bad or you're ugly or you're mean or judgmental. They look at you like, oh, she loves me. She's speaking my language. So the language is not just, you know, all the different languages. It's the language of love. It's being able to communicate in whatever language somebody needs to hear it in. Whatever language of love. There's different kinds of languages of love. People don't understand this. Some people identify with different languages of love. I know I've been around people that you like certain people that if you offer to fix their car for them or offer to do something, you know, fix something for them, I mean, they just look at you like, you know, you look like you like you're an angel. Why? Because they identify you fixing things for them with love. It's a language of love. There's different kinds of languages of love, and God's going to show you how to communicate with people, Nicole, in the languages of love, to be able to reach across to them instead of condemning them for being a Muslim and telling them, you don't serve a God, you're going to serve my Jesus, to be able to communicate the love language without compromise. So they'll go, oh, I see. And they open up their mouth. They open up their eyes because you communicate with them in the language they understand, the language of love. And they're willing to drop everything because they go, wow, I just heard love speaking to me. It communicated in my language, the language I can understand, and the language that I can that I go, oh, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to use. That's what Jesus did. He spoke in such love. He communicated love, and he spoke the language of love to all people. And when he did, they all wanted everything he had. They wanted what he had. The only people that resisted Jesus, Nicole, was the religious leaders who already had their mind made up. And they were condemning people for coming to him. Everybody else loved him. He spoke their language. When their children needed to be healed, he healed their children. When their children needed to be raised from the dead, he rose them from the dead. He spoke their language. Speaking their language means whatever they need, we give it to them in the name of Jesus without strings attached. Oh, okay, I'm going to raise your kid from the dead if you serve Jesus. No, I'm going to raise them from the dead and say, this is done in the name of Jesus. And they could be, you know, a Muslim. They could be a Jehovah's Witness. They could be anything but a Christ follower. I don't think Jesus manipulated and wheeled and dealt people with his power. I think he just did it, and they just fell in love with him. He spoke their language. He opened their hearts. He knew where they lived. He knew where they lived in their heart, where they lived in their heart, where they were at. Like Adam and Eve, he said, where are you? You know, where are you? He knows where they are. He speaks their language. Wow, I don't know what's happening to me tonight, but I'm stepping off into a zone, man. My God, this is amazing. I love this stuff. Dear Jesus. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to you from?
Chris from Texas.
Yes, Chris. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. God, I kept seeing this thing about breaking seals. Breaking seals. S-E-A-L-S, seals. Like a seal that seals something, breaking it. Breaking it through worship, like when the woman had the alabaster box, she broke the seal because those alabaster boxes were sealed because they were very expensive. It was very expensive. And God's going to give you the ability and the knowledge and the love for God and the worshipful spirit to hear from God and know how to unseal things, to unlock things, to break the seal so that that expensive thing, that rich thing that is, as it said, that spikenard in the alabaster box was very expensive. Judas got his eyes on it because he's going like, man, we could have sold that for a bunch of money, a year's wages. I mean, that was like, you poured it on your feet? What a waste that is. But when God shows you, Chris, what truly belongs to Jesus and what waste is, what wasting, God's going to show you how not to waste, how truly not to waste. Judas was saying, you wasted all that, but there is waste. But Judas was the one doing the wasting because he didn't know what was precious. He didn't know what belonged to God. He didn't know what was worshipful and honoring to Jesus. And he wanted to take it and make money off of it. And God says, I'm going to show you how to break the seal of the expensive, high-quality spikenard the riches that belong to God. And God's given you a heart to know what belongs to Him. That you honor Him, you give it to Him, you worship Him with what He's given you. You say, God, I give it back to you. Like Abraham gave up Isaac, he yielded him back. And said, God, you gave Isaac to me. It was a miracle. Now I give him back to you. That's the kind of heart God's given you, my brother. I just want to weep over this, man. My God. Hallelujah. He knew what was precious. He knew what was expensive with God. He knew what was valuable. And Abraham knew what was valuable with God, and that was just obedience to Him. For no matter what, whatever He asked Him, if you want my son, then I know this is an expensive thing to you. This is important to you. This is valuable to you. And yes, it's going to be hard, but I will do it. And he broke the seal of a blessing on his life that God says, now that you've done this, I just wanted to see if you would. Now that you did, you've broken a seal into the riches for the ram that was caught in the thicket. God said, yeah, now my provision for you, the riches that I have for you, the will of God, the blessings of God, the favor of God. Because what's truly, the Bible talks about, lay not treasures up on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. That's where the true riches are. In other words, what we do unto God. When we get land and the earth and cattle and, like I said, like Job had, you know, it was from God. It was a blessing. He didn't have his eyes on those things. And God tested him to see if he did and took everything away from him and then saw that he still trusted God because Job knew what was valuable. Job knew, Chris, what was expensive to God, what was quality, what meant something to him. And whatever meant something to God, Job and Abraham and Chris were willing to give it to the Father. Whatever you want, God. You giving me the whole world, I give the whole world back to you because I know if you want it, that means it's important to you. And I want to do what's important to you. My God, I loosen that seal-breaking anointing to unlock the treasures of God's heart and what's important to Him. Wasting valuable time and wasting things on time on things that are not important. God wants to take the earth, but He wants to take it His way. Everything in the earth belongs to Him. He wants it back. He wants all of it back. And He's looking for people, Chris, that will know what belongs to the Father. And if He says, give it back, I gave it to you. I gave Isaac to you. Now, give him back to me, Abraham. And when he did that, the sweet-smelling safer in the nostrils of God, yeah, that's what's precious to me is the obedience of my servants. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. My God. Unlocking, breaking the seals of expensive, back the things that are valuable to God. And Mary did that. She broke the seal. She said, this is a lot of money right here, but I'm pouring it all on my Jesus. And I know I can't take it back, and I don't want it back because I offer it to Him. Hallelujah. And He says, what this woman has done is amazing. I came in here, and you guys didn't even wash my feet. You didn't do anything. This woman has kissed my feet, washed my feet, anointed my feet. And all you guys did, it was what was about, what was precious to Jesus, having a big meal with a bunch of people? He loves that stuff, but that's not the thing that was important to Him. What was valuable was that she came and broke that expensive spikenard, opened it up, and poured it out on Jesus. He said, that's what I see as value. Well, the woman who gave the two mites, oh, he saw something that was amazing. He saw the riches that she was giving in her two little mites. The human beings look at it as like, what's she wasting her time for? That's nothing. But not Jesus. Jesus saw the value in it. He saw the love in it. He saw the brokenness in it. He saw the yield in it. She gave her all to God, and that was valuable. That was precious to Jesus. more precious than the millions of dollars. God's not concerned about millions of dollars. Man. He wants what's from the heart. My God. Unlock, break the seals, Jesus, and open up the divine purposes that please the Father, that are important to Him, that we don't waste our time with things that don't matter. God says, go take some land, go take some property, go take some horses, go take some cattle, go take some houses. And that's because that's important to Him. Why it's important, we don't know. We just go do it. He says, go get souls and win souls. We've got to have a place for souls to be put when they have nowhere to go. Everything's important to God. Not just people. It's everything. We've got to have a place for people to stay. People to live, food for them to eat. Food's important. Oh, the most important thing is just worshiping God. Well, yeah, until after about a few days where you ain't got any food and you die, you know, worshiping God anymore on the earth. Everything's important. Food, land, property, everything. God created all of it. There's a purpose for everything under the sun. Hallelujah. All right, 402-214. Do you want to talk to me right now, please?
Hey, Randy. Sharon, New York.
Sharon, God bless you, Sharon. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the seed of God, the seed, the seed, the seed, the seed, the seed, that you show Sharon what a seed means. A seed is little, it's small, it doesn't mean much. But within it is the power to increase and multiply. It's the power that God gave that when we understand what a seed does, Lord, I thank you for showing her what seeds mean, how to deal with a seed. One little seed can turn into millions of seeds with our thoughts, with our heart, with our everything's important. You go, but mainly people who don't have any money, they think that what they're doing for God and being poor is precious to God. Well, being poor isn't precious to God. Being rich isn't precious to God either. Being precious to God is the human heart, and knowing that when God gives you a seed to do something with it, the seed can be a thought. It can be a little thing God tells you to do. A seed is something that we plant into the ground. We give it away. Our love, our friendship, seeds of kindness. God, I thank you for showing her all the realms of seed in her life that she can take or she doesn't have, or she has very little, and seed and plant it to increase and multiply, God. In Jesus' name, to increase her, to cause her, like you told Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. We sit around asking God to bring us stuff, and God says, well, what's that seed you got in your hand? Oh, that's not much. That's not going to help me do anything. He said, plant the seed. Then increase in multiplication begins. It's a process God has given. We're teaching people how to fish. We're not just giving them fish. We're teaching them how to fish so they can be self-sufficient. They don't have to have somebody. It's just the way God created the seed realm, where we take one little seed, and seeds are in many different areas, seeds of kindness, seeds of love, seeds of compassion, seeds of friendship, seeds of obedience to God. Seeds are in every form. God shows Sharon every form of seed so she can begin to plant it and give it out like she never has before in her life, God, to increase her and multiply her in Jesus' name, to get the riches of Christ, Christ's way. He gave us all the power to plant. We may not have a nickel to our name, but we have kindness, we have generosity, we have friendship, we have love. It's all a seed. And we give it away, it increases and multiplies. It comes back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Hallelujah. Good God, open it up. Open up the treasures of her heart. Show her what that seed is, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know she already knows this to a certain degree, but I'm asking you to show it to her in a way she's never known before, God. Open up her heart and let her see it, God. in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. New revelation from heaven. In the name of the Lord God, increase her knowledge, increase her ability in Jesus' name. Let her, when we get in despair and despondency, we forget that what we have something. I have nothing. I have nothing. There's nobody that has nothing. God has given every person something. God, show her the riches that she has, God, in Jesus' name. All right, and the power of God within her. It's a beautiful thing inside Sharon, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, let's go here to, I think I lost. All right, I think 478, did I call it your next? Okay, 478, I think you lost your place in line. You're down here. I think I got you right here. Though. Here we go. 5478233. Can I talk to you,
Ruth,
please?
Hello, Mr. Randy. This is Janice from Georgia.
Well, hi, Janice. All right, Janice from Georgia. Good to have you, Janice. Yeah. All right. All right, let's pray for Janice tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Janice. Hallelujah. I just see you opening wide your mouth. The Bible says, open your mouth and I will fill it. And Lord, I just thank you, God, for Janice opening her mouth wide so you can put a lot in her mouth, in Jesus' name, so she can put it out there, God, so she can speak it, so she can do it. Put things in her mouth, oh God. Put things in her mouth. Put revelation in her mouth. Put love in her mouth. Put healing virtue in her mouth. Put the power to deliver in her mouth, God, in Jesus' name. Put the sharp word of the Lord in her mouth, God. And she will open her mouth wide, and you will fill it in Jesus' name, the scripture talks about. Hallelujah. Prosper her mouth, God, where she can open it wide in the name of Jesus and trust you that she don't have to have something. She opens up her mouth like a mama bird feeds a baby bird. That baby bird opens up her mouth, and that mama bird puts some food in there. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that God wants to feed you, Janice, and give you word, give you revelation, give you understanding, give you ministry, give you power to pray and believe for people in Jesus' name. Put the power in your mouth in the name of Jesus, in your prayers, in your praise. Open your mouth wide and praise me, saith the Lord. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it with praise. I will fill it with glory. I will fill it with love. Hallelujah. Nothing's impossible to those who open wide their mouths in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah for Janice, God. And bless her, God, and fill her with the Holy Ghost afresh and anew, dear Jesus. Do it, God. 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 Have your way, dear Jesus. In Jesus' name. All right, 912-392. Can I talk to you, sir, please? 912-398.
Paulette from Georgia.
Paulette? Oh, hi, Paulette.
Hey.
All right, Paulette, that's heavy. All right, thank you, Lord, for Paulette, God. I thank you, Father, for giving her a green thumb, giving her that green, that spirit of green, that life, that in him is life, and a life abundantly. Well, I speak over her the green realm, the realm of green, the realm of life in Jesus' name, that in him was life. Hallelujah. In him was life and the power of life. That I speak the power of life in her spirit, God, in her soul, in her body. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Life, not death, but life. Life swallows death up in Jesus' name. That you will show her how to swallow death up by the life of God that is in her heart, in her mouth. God, in Jesus' name, that she will learn how to let life in her swallow up the death. Let life in her swallow up the sicknesses and diseases that are in people's lives, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, whatever the disease, whatever the sickness is, that God, you will show her, you will open up her mouth and give her the green anointing, God, of life, where life will swallow up the death, swallow up the oppression, swallow up no hope, or they have no hope. Swallow it up in Jesus' name. Destroy it. There's a destroyer. His name's the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. It destroys it so that it cannot come back in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Destroy those yokes, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. My sister, in the name of the Lord, let it be done, God. Hallelujah. By your magnificence, put your magnificence that is in her. Let it be manifested in her life, Jesus. Bring her her future. Show her her future. Begin to reveal to her the future. Hallelujah. In a clear zone, in the zone of clarity, whatever that is, in the name of Jesus, in the clear zone. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God. Let her start saying, let it be done. Let it be done. Swallow up death with life, with victory. In Jesus' name, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where are you? You're gone. You're washed away. You're swallowed up by victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Put a victory walk and a victory talk inside of her, God, like never before, Jesus. Resurrection power in the name of Jesus. Flow like a river. Prosperity. Green also means prosperity and blessing. I kept saying green. Like a beautiful color of green, and prospering her, Jesus. Fulfill her dreams, God, to be able to give and help those probably that have nothing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give her favor, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, 940-224. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
This is Michael in Christian Lee from Texas.
Yeah, you see you had some other people on the phone right earlier. Are they still
yes,
there?
Sir.
Okay.
I believe so.
Hi, this is Chris Lena from Texas.
Lisa, you said?
Chris Lena from Texas.
Chris Lena?
Chris Lena.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have a hard time hearing you. Can you spell it out for me? Can you spell it for me?
Yes, it's Chris Lena. K-R-I-S-T-A. L-I-N-A, Crystalina.
Crystalina, okay. That's kind of a different name. I love that. All right, Crystalina, nice to have you tonight. All right, let's pray for you, Crystalina. It's Crystalina. I don't think I've ever heard that name before. That is, I love that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to get that down here so I can... All right, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, the Lord says that it's like I see people being proud of you, like going proud of you, like they're very proud of you, like, you know, Crystalina, you've done good, like you've done good, and then being proud of you, you know, and there's something that I don't know if in your childhood people were not proud of you, like you needed it. Every parent needs to show how proud they are of their child, even if they only have one thing to be proud of. You know, we need to show that we're proud of them and that we favor them, that we love them. And I see God really doing that with you and saying that, you know, he's proud of you, like I'm proud of you. Like I keep hearing the Holy Spirit say, and I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. And it's going to wash away anything in you that feels shame, anything if you feel like you come up short, anything in your life where you come up short. And we all come up short in certain areas because we all have, you know, a balance of weaknesses and strengths in our life. Everybody does. There's not one person that doesn't. And I hear the Lord, like, when the Father showed up, when John the Baptist was being baptized in the water of Jordan, the Father showed up in a cloud. God Almighty showed up in a cloud. And he said to his son, where everybody could hear it, this is my beloved son and who I'm very proud of, or I'm well pleased. And I see God breathing that into you, Crystalina. I see him speaking that, breathing that over you. Speaking that over you, saying, I'm proud of you. And you know that Jesus needed to hear that, or the Father would have showed up and done it. And Jesus said, yeah, that's that. He's showing up over here, blasting away, telling everybody how proud he is of me. And that's what I see happening with you. I see God doing that and just and breaking off shame, breaking off feel like where you feel like you come up short and just causing you to go, you know, my daddy loves me. My daddy's proud of me. It makes you feel like that's what parents do. That's why God, the parent, God was the father of Jesus. And so it's like the father showing up at his graduation or his, baptismal service and everything's real quiet. And all of a sudden the father stands up and starts whistling real loud. Yee, that's my boy. That's my boy. Great, and just really making a show out of that's my boy. Yeah, that's my girl. That's my girl, and I see God doing it with you. And it's something that we all need that. Jesus needed it. That's why the Father showed up and did it. And I see God doing it. And also speak any anxiety and stress away, anything that's like somebody's having trouble. I don't know if this is Christina or somebody. Your throat is sore, or you're having your chest is trying to be congested, or your throat is sore. Something's trying to hit you. I don't know who this is. It may not have anything to do with her. But in Jesus' name, I speak a cleansing and a washing of that. I speak healing virtue over you. Whoever that is, be washed, be cleansed, be healed. Whoever that is, in Jesus' name, I feel that very strong. And it's like your throat's kind of trying to get sore. And in the back of your, in the very, very, very back of your mouth and your chest kind of a little bit. So in Jesus' name, be cleansed and washed of that right now in the power of God. Michael, anybody else?
That's it.
Oh, awesome. Okay, let's pray over you. All right, let's pray over you. Thank you. Is she doing okay? Anything? Does she want? I have a prayer request, Michael, that she would like to ask.
Do you have a prayer request?
No, I just want to thank you for the prayer tonight.
Well, you're so welcome. I'm so glad you came on. Thanks for taking the courage and listening to Michael and coming on. That took a lot. You're a brave girl.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right, Michael, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to mute you there. And so thank you, Jesus, for the fashion. I see God showing you like the fashion, how he's fashioning things, like in the world when there's new fashion that comes out, everybody's like, man, I'm not sure I like that. And Michael goes, no, that's going to be hot. That's going to really be good. It's like there's something in you that knows a fashionable thing, something that is going to be a trend, or something that's going to be important, or something that's going to be valuable, or something that's going to be important that people are going to look to and go, yeah, I really like this. Something's going to be popular. And that's really cool, I don't know what that is toward in you, but knowing so it's fashionable, like God is very much a clothing person. I mean, he created the priest where, well, people think that God's not really much in the fashion, but when he dressed up his priest in the temple, I mean, they wore crowns, they wore jewels, they were really all in the fashion realm for sure, big time. And most people don't realize that. See, God is in the fashion. He's very much in clothing. He designed clothing. He gave Moses the design of clothing and said, design this way. And he was designing. He's a designer. God's a creator, a designer. So I just unlocked the designer inside of Michael, God, and do the thing where he can design, where he can know. I don't know what that means, designing what. I'm not sure exactly, but I unlocked that inside you in the name of Jesus, where you can be at one with God about seeing what, seeing people, the way certain groups of people are, and going, that certain group of people, there's going to be something awesome about them. There's going to be something great about them. They're going to really stick out. They're going to really show up, they're going to really be in fashion. The kind of people, the kind of worship, the kind of church, the kind of thing, whatever the thing is, whatever's fashionable, even with God, of course with God, especially with God. What's fashionable with God? What's God doing right now? What's in fashion? What's God? How's God having us dress? What are we wearing now? We flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. What are we doing? We're loving people. We're preaching to people. We're going into the streets. But what's fashionable now with me? And so I don't even know what that means exactly. But I thank you, Jesus, for opening that up in Him, and awakening that in Him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. To know what's in. To know what's in. Like the signs and the sense, the signs of the times, and what's in season. All right, 847-505, we want to talk to you right now, please.
Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Marja from Illinois.
All right. All right, thank you. All right, Margaret, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when God makes something, you know, when he was making the earth, he would make something, he would say, and that's good. You know, and he makes something else, and he goes, yeah, that's good too. God was calling it good. He made something, and then he called it good. And then, of course, when he made Adam and Eve, he said, that's really good. You know, because they were gonna, the really good was gonna rule over all the other good. So he had some really good ruling over all the other good. So God's really gonna show you what the really good is, and how the really good, you know, rules and has dominion over the good. In other words, knows how to deal with things, knows how to, to know what really is good. Like human beings. We're not animals. We're not like animals. We're human beings. We're really good. God looked at man. He created man. He said that's really good. When he created animals and the trees and the ground, all the other stuff, he just said that's good. And it was good. It was good. But when he created man, God's really going to open you up to why Jesus loved men, loved human beings. Why they are special, why they're not just like animals, why they're separated from all the other creatures, and why God did that, and what he's put in man, that man is very good because the fellowship we have with God and all the whole things he gave man, which was very good, dominion over the earth, and God's showing you how to I don't even know why I'm telling you this exactly, but to recognize that's really good. And the things that are good, you know, that's good, but this is really good. And the really good always rules over and is better than the good, as far as, you know, that goes. So I don't, whatever it means, I'm not understanding that one. But thank you, Jesus, for showing Marja, giving her that quality spirit where she knows what's really good. She knows what's really important. She knows what, like the Bible talks about, the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, to show her what the perfect will of God is, that she can walk in the perfect will of God and choose what's really good over what's good. Like the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is a completely different thing. God, I thank you, Lord, that you called Marja to walk in the perfect will of God, to walk in the really good, high-level quality life. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening that up for her, that she will live in the exceeding abundantly life, in Jesus' name. The very good. The Bible talks about faith and talks about grace, and it talks about what it say about grace, much grace, or it was great grace, great faith, great grace, and great something else. I can't remember what it was, but it was great. So there's faith, and then there's great faith. There's grace, and then there's great grace. It's all in the book of Acts. You might Google it and look at that word, but God is really giving you a taste for the great things of God and the very good things of God. Amen. So God's opening you up for that. He's giving you a taste for that. It's in your blood. It's in you. And God's unlocking that inside you where you can walk in it and live in it. And, in the higher level quality of life in Jesus' name. So open it up for her, God. Make it known to her and let her see it. Let her give her the revelation of it so she can walk in it with her head held high in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 919-995. I'm going to talk to you right now, please. 919-995. Okay, 919 has slipped off into the wonderful world. Okay. All right, I think that, all right, Cheryl, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for opening her up to that place of truth, of the truth shall set you free. And so people need the truth. They need the truth because anything other than the truth is not going to set them free. If they get something other than the truth, they're not going to get set free. Like when we give people, Bible information, we got to give them the truth that belongs to them. In other words, some people may say they need healing, but they may just need deliverance. Right? Some people may say they need deliverance, but they really just need to have some a prayer and some emotional healing of some sort. And, and forgiveness of sin, that kind of thing. So bringing the truth shall set them free. And I see God really putting the thing in you, Cheryl, for the truth shall set them free. And so the truth that you get, is not like Job's friends. Job's friends gave Job all kinds of biblical truth, but they didn't give him the truth that fit him. And so God's really going to show you how to walk in the truth that sets people free. In other words, if you're giving somebody something that it may be biblically true, but not true for them, in other words, I see that there's something wrong over there. You have an eye problem. That's a demon. It may not be a demon. It's prayer for pink eye or something. You know, it may not be a demon at all. So getting the truth is what sets people free. So if they have pink eye and you're saying it's something else, you have to bring it like you have pink eye. So they know how to heal the pink eye, right? So they get the truth about something. And God's showing you the truth about things and opening you up to that and not just judging things by their exterior or what they look like it might be, but according to the truth of what fits that person, what their real issue is. In other words, going to the root of the issue with them. So I thank you, Lord, for that. And that very beautiful, gracious spirit, God, through her to love and impart her kindness, God, and the ability to see into people and see what's going on with them, God, because you're removing all the things that aren't truth into the real truth, and the truth comes from the secret place, and God only speaks the truth to people that are not judgmental and condemning, but are gracious and kind. And we'll speak the truth to somebody, but we'll do it from God and the secrets that God gives. I don't think about the secret room. All right. Okay, let's go here. And let's go here to Cheryl. Not Cheryl. All right, 484, you're next. All right, 484, 745, who am I talking to? Hang on a second. All right, 484, 745, who am I talking to? Where you from, please? Are you there? Okay. All right, I think that's Devante, 44. So, Lord, we speak over Devante tonight. And, that's the one. Thank you, Lord, for Devante. Lord, we thank you for Devante tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you for the whole cancel culture thing, that God, you show him how to reach across the board, reach across the aisle or whatever, and be able to, not write off somebody because they said something offensive, they said something ugly, that God give you a spirit of compassion. A spirit of compassion that's in you really rise up and be able to love the brothers, love people. Instead of canceling them from your life, you start seeing that, God wants to open you up and show you how to accept them and love them where they are, even though they may be wrong, they may be doing the wrong thing, but to accept them and love them and be, Jesus was a friend to sinners. So God really wants to show you when you're ready for that how to be a friend to sinners and not walk in a spirit of condemnation or judgmental spirit, but just, hey, man, I'm not going to compromise with you. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow to Nebuchadnezzar. They said, King, we're not going to, in all due respect, sir, if our God doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow to your idols. We're not going to do that. And so even though he spoke up and spoke the truth, he still honored the king because God's trying to show you how to honor, where to honor, what honor means, and what honor does for you when you truly honor and honor God. And, we can disagree with somebody wholeheartedly and still honor them with great honor and respect. and God really showing you how to walk in that realm, because honor is it will lift you up. When you honor, the Bible says when you honor your mother and father, doesn't mean we have to agree with everything they say, but it's a whole thing of learning how to honor, because honor lifts you up and dishonor takes you down. But I've really shown you how to walk in it in a very powerful way. All right. Okay, 863. We've got 863. All right, 863-605.
Hey, Randy, it's Nikki from Florida.
Yes. Hi, Nikki. All right, Nikki, this is great for you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Nikki. I see, like, God bringing things back to zero, like back to zero as far as, okay, this person has something against me. I had something against them, you know, type of thing. We're bringing things back to zero. Like, okay, I forgive you. You forgive me. Everything's forgiven. Like, forgive. And then as we learn to trust situation, trust people. Like, even though I forgive people, you know, if they really mess up a lot, I don't trust them. I still don't trust them, but I forgive them. You know, come on. And so if they want to build a relationship back with me, they're going to have to show me that they're trustworthy. So forgiveness and trust is two different things. But I see God bringing both sides to zero, like down to, okay, you know, okay, I'm not going to live against you. You're going to live against me. And you come to an agreement on not on counting, issues with each other, or, you know, maybe it's a situation, I don't know what to do with what I don't really know. Maybe you're dealing with somebody who's dealing. I don't know what the situation is, but dealing with somebody who they need to come to be able to agree to disagree, you know, on things and come to peace. I see things needing to come to peace and God bringing things to peace. And this may be somebody that I can say that you're dealing with. I don't really know what this is, but to come to peace and a real peace where it's not phony peace and peace and fake peace, but it's real peace where you look at somebody and go, yeah, I know you, you know, but I'm going to be at peace with you. And so, and some things starting over again, you know, some things starting over. So thank you, Jesus, for all the people in our lives that we all are families. And people have, you know, sometimes have things against each other, and they're things that they hold, they're still holding on going, yeah, you know, and they have all this stuff. And so being able to be like the woman who was, who they were accusing, and they found caught in the act of adultery, he says, you know, which of you have no sin? In other words, I see this God using you to release that thing into people, like, okay, which of you have no sin? You're going to be sinning, casting stones at this person, you're going to stone them. Oh, what about your stuff? You know, and open up the eyes of people that are blinded to thinking that because their sin isn't as big as somebody else's, that somehow they're better and they can judge them. And, you know, so I see God really using you to speak that word like Jesus did, you know, which of you have no sin, cast the first stone, and then people putting their stones down, you know, it's coming back to zero where they have, okay, we forget, we have sin, okay, and really – people being awakened to the fact that that we're all sinners, that we all have things, we're all human, we all fail, we all make mistakes, and that we can love each other. I'm not saying trust everybody. You know, if they're a thief and though you forgive them, you don't have to let them in your house to steal your stuff. You know, but there's a thing of forgiveness for them. You know, so thank you, Jesus, for that, and for showing Nikki how to release that thing. Not casting stones, as you say, laying the stones down and walking away. Amen. And then saying to the person, you know, where are your accusers at? There are none. Right? And Jesus brought her to that safe place of knowing that that he loved her and that God loved her. And she was safe. Amen. In the hands of God. All right. I think after really dealing with the judgmental spirit in the body of Christ like never before, in all of us, and I really see God really breaking that, and God using me to break that down, praying it off people, whatever God has you do, I don't know exactly, but breaking that thing off because it's keeping us from walking in God's perfect will, because we come under condemnation. Romans 2:1 says if we're judging other people unrighteously, we come under condemnation just by judging them wrong, incorrectly, with a self-righteous spirit, like they were doing with her. You know, they were in sin, but they were going to stone her because their sin was probably maybe worse than theirs. So it was unrighteous judgment. And therefore, they were condemned, and they knew it. And Jesus was able to speak to them in a way that brought their condemnation to light. Like, oh, I'm condemning her, therefore I'm condemned. So how can I still stone her when I'm condemned? Just like she's condemned. And seeing it in a whole different light. All right. Let's go to 619-309. Who am I talking to? Where come, please? All right, 619-309, are you there? Okay, hang on a second. Let's look that up. 619-309. Okay, there we go. 619. Okay. All right, 619-309. All right, let's go here. Thank you, Jesus, for 619. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for favoritism, God, for people that have favorites and into the favoritism realm, that God, you break that off of people where they quit favoring people because whatever reason, favoritism in the wrong way. God does have favorites. I think he really does. Not because they've chosen to obey him and they've chosen to walk with him, that God's going to show you who, you know, how God chooses people and why God seems to favor some people more than others. And a lot of it is because he knows what's in them, and he favors them because they have a heart for him, and maybe they don't even know it yet. And he favors them because he's just like Joseph was favored among his other brothers. And that was, God's done that. God, you know, favored Jesus over everybody else. But he favored Jesus because Jesus was going to give his life for everybody else so that everybody else he could favor with them and give grace and mercy and favor to the whole world. So God's showing you the difference between a favor and how God favors people. It's not because they're smarter or they have more, you know, money or whatever. It's because of their heart. And God's showing you how to judge the heart and see the heart and let God show you that your heart, that God has favored you and chosen you to favor you and to open you up and to, you know, and it's because God favors you. Men don't have to favor you. Once God favors you and you know you're favored by God, it doesn't matter what people do. Right, and God really opening you up to that and showing you that in Jesus' name of what how God favors. When God favors, it doesn't matter what man do. You know, just and keeping your eyes on the favor that God has given so that you don't go up and down with people and they, you know, don't favor you like God does. You know, so just be able to basically overlook their judgmental spirit or whatever. And because most of them don't even know how God judges people, how he judges them as far as, you know, their value. And God does judge according to their value. The value is not how much money we have, how smart we are. It's our hearts, how we're willing to obey and do whatever he says. That's the value of God. All right, 619. All right, 903-808. Am I talking to you from, please?
Yeah, this is Jeannie in Texas.
All right, Jeannie, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
I feel a lot better today. Thank you so much for the prayer last night.
Okay, great. Yeah, you said in your text you're feeling better. Awesome. Okay, let's have a check real quick. Good. Thank you for letting me know about that. I know a lot of people are praying for you. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeannie. God, you know, I just keep seeing this, Jeannie, and I know I've said this like twice already to you, but I keep seeing this young girl in you rising up that's so pure, so beautiful, so innocent, so precious, so in love with Jesus, so a passionate lover of God and just loving God and just loving people and just love, and just like a loving and a great faith, just the faith of a young, innocent child, you know, that just loves her daddy and trusts her daddy. I don't know. I just see that person in you just coming forth more and more and more all the time, where you don't judge anything except what your Father judges and the way He judges. And God never judges unrighteously. He always looks at a person according to, you know, some people have gotten into deep trouble and deep sin and have a lot of issues, and they are maybe in prison, locked up forever, because maybe they were abused when they were a child. There was things that went wrong with them that had nothing to do with them, but they were just, you know, mistreated and abused and got full of hate and didn't know how to get free of it. And people just, you know, and so God doesn't look at them like He looks at them at the innocence as a child. He looks at the innocence that they had, that they were born with, in a sense that we're all born sinners, but the innocence that they have and how they're not going to, until they got on that wrong track sometimes by other people. And so God judges them not according to what they've done wrong so much as how they got there and why they're there. Because when we know why they got there, what got them off track, what got them bitter, what got them full of hate, what got them full of a murder spirit or whatever their problem was the abuse. And you start seeing them in a whole different light. You start having compassion on them because you're going, man, you're that way because you were abused, because something, you know, and all the things. So they build up a case even against themselves. And sometimes we need people to step in with the loving faith of a young girl who just, like, loves God and says, you know, I know why you're that way, because you were abused and hurt when you were a child. I speak to you. You are forgiven. You are loosened. You are free. Come on, get up and walk. Get up off that bed of affliction and walk. And set them free from the things that got them off track, and go back to the root of what got people off track. Instead of looking at them with the fruit in their lives, where they're at, God's giving you that heart to be able to see them, and the way the Father sees them, He knows what got them off track. That they were just having a regular day one day, and somebody came up and just beat the snot out of them, cussed them, you know, did all kinds of things to them, and abused them, and they got, you know, whatever happened, it just kept going on and on and on, until it just drove them into, you know, a protection realm, and trying to protect themselves, they killed the people, trying to protect themselves, and yet the judge didn't see that, didn't see it that way. God knew it. God knows exactly why they were the way they were. And to be able to look at them like that, and them to know that somebody has eyes, Jeannie, to see the you know, how it all began. And they didn't really mean for that to happen. They didn't really know it was something that happened to them without their permission. Something went up. And so they fell into the sin and couldn't get out of it. And they need somebody to come along, like an innocent child, like a mother who knows the innocence of her child at one time, that can see her child as an innocent, beautiful child instead of what their child became through maybe abuse of the father, abuse of somebody, and watch their own child turn into a bitter, hateful person, not because of something that they were innocent and sweet, and then something bad happened and then turned them into somebody who's in prison for the rest of their life. But they did. And the mother, you know, always remembers that child. But I see something about that girl I see in you, the purity, the innocence, being able to see. I'll be talking about tonight, the message at the very beginning was about the secret place. And the secret place are people who know secrets about people. They know what really got them where they are, and that it really wasn't really their fault in many ways. And it became their fault, but it wasn't their fault in the beginning. They got wrapped up. Satan got them, tagged them, nailed them, and then they just kind of gave up and became what, you know, so and be able to see that. And people need to know there's people still alive that can look beyond a murderer, raping, killing bad person as innocent before God and see them and why they are like that instead of what they have become, what made them that way, knowing that all they need is a precious hand of forgiveness and love, and say, I loosen you. I set you free from that, and let God unravel their life. In Jesus' name. And all that's from seeing that part of you rising up and seeing life different, seeing people through the eyes of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go here. 585 go? 585, did you disappear on me, or did I just 920? Did I already do 920? I don't know. Okay, there's 585 right there. All right, 585, who am I talking to right from, please?
Hi, I'm Anonymous.
Anonymous, okay, Anonymous. All right, thank you, Anonymous. Thank you, Jesus, for Anonymous. Thank you, Lord, for opening her up to that that fearless realm where into the fearless realm where God says, you know, if you're fearless, Anonymous, what you do is you're not afraid of anything except you reverence God. The reverential awe and the fear, the reverential fear and awe of God is the only thing, and love, because God is love, that can bring you to a place of being fearless, to where you're not afraid to step out. You're not afraid because you know who your source is. You know who your God is. And not bringing you to a reverential fear and awe of him in a way that you're not afraid of anything. Because when you know God, when you reverence him and respect him and fear him among all other things, you know nothing else can touch you without his permission. You know nothing can do anything without God's permission. It can never happen. It can never happen. It cannot happen. Therefore, you're fearless. Fearless because even like Job, when Job was thrown into the throes of the enemy and given over to Satan, it's do anything you want to him, but you can't kill him. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, what's going on with that? It's like, you know, but Job was fearless. Why? Because he honored, he reverenced God. Well, anything, even though you slay me, yet will I praise you. That was fearlessness. Though you slay me, go ahead and slay me, God. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to praise you. What is that? It doesn't say it's fearlessness, but it's absolute fearlessness. He was fearless. That's why he won. That's why nothing can defeat you when you're fearless. When you have a reverential awe and respect for God above all things, you know Satan can't mess with you without God. Even when Job was being messed with by Satan, whatever's going on, he knew something. He said, like, well, God must be allowing this. Somehow or another, I don't know. I don't understand it. That makes any sense to me, but God must be allowing it. So I trust him. I trust him. I will praise him. Why? That's what made him fearless was this reverential awe and respect for God. God, I ask you to open up that place in Jesus' name like never before in her life. In Jesus' name, open up the shadows of death, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the shadows of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. In Jesus' name, open it up for her, God. All right, let's go here, and thank you, Jesus, for that. All right, let's go here, 920. Okay, 920. All right, 920. All right, let's get 920 right here. Hold on, sorry. All right, I think it's Andrew. I'm going to hit 920 next. Is that 402-533? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Andy.
Hey, Andrew. All right, good, Andy. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea. Thank you, Jesus, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the restoration, God, restoration. And God, I thank you for you put in her that the possibility and the ability for God to restore all things, to restore all things. Bob talks about he came to restore all things. Not some things, not most things, all things. And there's a vision, there's a purpose in you that God has put within you, that God's going to restore all things and given a plan, given a strategy, given a way, you know, prayer walking and whatever else. That the strategy God has given, because the whole purpose of all that is to restore all things to him. And so I thank you, God, for rewarding her in Jesus' name and the Spirit for what she's done, the labor she's done in the spirit realm, that God, you will reward her even in the natural realm to restore her as she has been used to help pray and to restore things back to its original place. And in the process of that and working on that and developing that, that God, you're restoring her. In Jesus' name, restore her wealth, restore her blessing, restore her health, restore her favor with God and man, as she grew in favor with God and man. in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for that God and man favor in Jesus' name. Not just favor with God, but favor with God and man, that her faith level come up to a whole other place, that she can have favor with God and man in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Favor with God and man in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Favor with God and man. Amen. All right, 920. All right, 920-279. Can we talk to you very quickly?
Hi, it's Ann from Wisconsin.
Hi, Ann. All right, Ann. Good to have you. All right. All right, 920, Ann from Wisconsin. Ann had a great testimony last night. Guys, did you hear that? She said we gave her a word about 3 months ago that she saw somebody walking up to her door and giving her something, a surprise, and surprising her something. And so she said last night that it happened. Somebody needs a bed really bad. She's praying for a bed. And she said all of a sudden, I think her sister called her or somebody, and then there it was. Showed up at the door with a surprise and that bed and brought it in brand spanking new. And I thank you, Lord, for that part of it. That's kind of like a restoration thing that I'm talking about, even with praying over Andrea, is that restoration, God, like, you know, the things that have been robbed and stolen and taken from you through, you know, whatever situation, that God's restoring that and bringing restoration, the spirit of restoration. Like I just ministered to Andrea, and Ann and Andrea, Ann and A-N-N, Andrea and Ann. Andrea, yeah, and the spirit of restoration upon you, that's a sign of God's restoration for you, and, you know, that he's restoring to you, you know, like that was a brand new bed, right? It was a brand new, never been stepped on. I mean, that was a sign of God. That's how God does, means that when he restores things, as he brings things back to just as if it never went wrong. You know, justification means resurrection has to. Resurrection is really important because resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection has to do with just as if you never did it. That's where justification comes in. We're going to talk about that soon. How resurrection is what brings forth the awareness of just as if I never did it, just as if I never was divorced and lost all my stuff, just as if I never lost all my money, and just as if I never sinned, just as if I never messed up. That's what justification is. And that's what restoration is. They're one and the same. So I thank you, Jesus, for that with Ann. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God, and opening that up for her and let her see, be that part of her, God, the restoration of all things, God, the restoration of all things, Ann, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, the restoration of all things. All right, let's go here to 478-233. Who am I talking to, please?
You already
called
me, Mr. Randy.
I'm sorry?
You have already talked to me.
Oh.
I think my phone hung up one time. I had to call back.
Okay, Jen, that's okay. Thank you. I think, yes. I'm sorry about that. Okay. I thought that number was bigger. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right, let's go here to 240-482. Can I talk to you from, please?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Oh, hey, Valerie.
Right. Hello.
Get the head. All right. Bless you. Hello to you. Hello. Hello. Are you there? All right, Valerie. You are there. Yeah. Yeah, it's like I hear the Lord saying, I know where you are. I know where you are. I know where you live. I know who you are. I know you. And the Bible says we shall be known. We shall know as we are known. And God wants to open up your heart to this beautiful thing of just like he knows you, that you know him. Like he wants to balance it out to where he just doesn't know everything about you. He wants you to know everything about him that he wants you to know. Yeah, and that he wants to share the glory with you. People say, God, that share glory with anybody. But I know what they mean by that, because men don't do things. But he shares his glory so that we can bring him glory. He shares his glory with us so we can bring him glory. So I see God sharing his glory with you and knowing you, you knowing him as you are known, to know as you are known. And I see that thing of things of just of just feeling like it, knowing somehow in your spirit, knowing, you know, God knows me and I know him. And you know God? Oh, yeah. He knows me and I know him. Yeah, we know each other. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice. There's something about knowing, the knowing realm. I see God really open up the knowing realm with you where you start knowing things. You start knowing, mainly knowing, mostly knowing that you are his and that he's yours. It's not just that you're his, that he's yours. So the whole thing about most people live their whole life going, yeah, I belong to God. Well, God belongs to you. I mean, he belongs to us. He wants it that way. He didn't want us just to belong to him. He gave his life. He gave his son so that we could share our life together and love together and bless together and get to know each other, to know as we are known. That's what his goal is. That's what his purpose is for the way that he knows us, for us to know him, to know as we are known. And it's his delight and his pleasure. And God's going to show, wants to start showing you the pleasurable part of you with him and him with you and how it's no longer the God of all wrath and the God of all power talking to little old Valerie. You know, oh, my God, oh, little old Valerie. Oh, just barely. She knows, you know, God knows her. But he wants you, Valerie. It's going to just open it. He wants you to know him. My sheep know me. My sheep know my voice. What do you know the voice of God for? Because he's wanting to make himself known to you. Hearing the voice of God and just, I'm going to tell you everything about you. No, he wants to tell you everything about him. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. Jesus said that he's going to reveal, the Holy Spirit's going to come. When he comes, he's going to reveal me to you. Everything that I am, he's going to reveal all of me to you. That's what it says. And Jesus said that. He said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to reveal my heart. He's going to reveal everything that's mine. He's going to reveal it to you. You see that correlation there where it's not just God knowing everything about us and he's almighty. Yes, but he wants, his passion is for us to know everything about him. Oh, he just wants to share the secrets that he has. Oh, the beauty, the love, the purpose, everything. And just breathe it into your nostrils in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I speak the breath of God into your nostrils. He knows you, loves you. Hallelujah. You know him. He wants you to know him. That's one of the greatest reasons that he sent the Holy Spirit. Was why? To know him. That's why he said, my sheep know my voice. It's not just him saying, go do this, go do that. That's part of it, but it's to know him. To know him is to love him. Yeah. Probably most people don't know him. Because they don't know the right thing about him. So they really don't love him because they don't really know him. God's going to show you. He wants you to know him, to love him. Amen. All right, 720-819. Human Talk, you may come, please. All right, 720-819.
Hey, Jeff and
Uke. Jeff and Uke, okay. All right, I think I awakened them from a great, probably resting place. They're probably resting, and I just woke them up. Oh, well, that's all your fault. You called in. You connected your sound to my voice, so gotcha. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I hear you say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, God. Okay, yes, sir. Like I hear the Lord giving you instructions, giving you orders. And you say, yes, sir, Lord. Yes, sir. Like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yes, sir. Like, I'm giving you instructions, giving you orders, Jeff, to do things. And it's like when we, I was sharing just with somebody last night, prophesying actually over there, a revelation to me about how that when we come through one level of faith and we see the fruit and the manifestation of what we struggled with and battled with for months or years or whatever it was, And we finally conquer in that area, and we see fruit in it. Finally get the breakthrough. Then, you know, it opens up for the next realm of breakthrough, for the next realm of faith. Because you go from faith to faith. So when the faith gets fulfilled, when you start seeing the fulfillment of, you know, like things that have gone on lately, you know, then that brings you to a place that it ushers you in automatically into a whole other level of faith, because that part of that faith that you know will believe in God and seeing God fucking showed up and brought things to pass. It's like when it happens, when things get brought to pass, it's like now you don't have to believe for that anymore. It's done, right? Well, when you say that that's done, that part of that's done, that you automatically get ushered into a whole other realm of faith, a whole other place of faith. And then you learn how to take instructions from God. And I hear God saying to you, giving you instructions. Okay, do this and do this and do this and do this. And you go, yes, sir, yes, sir. Because I keep hearing you say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Lord. Okay, like the boss. Sometimes he's our friend. Sometimes he's, some person we have fun with. Sometimes he's a person we worship. Sometimes he's a person who gives us instructions, like the God of the universe telling Moses, how to build the temple, like, yes, sir. He's giving him instructions, specific instructions, and so God's doing that with you. So in Jesus' name, so let him do that with you. And the instructions that he gives are always, how does faith come? How does a new level of faith come? By hearing, yes, sir, Lord, yes, sir, instructions, okay. So I thank you, Lord, for that level of instruction you've given Jeff, for that whole other level of faith, whole new, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the victories, and we give you glory, we give you praise, and we honor you with the victory that you brought us in Jesus' name. And that new level of faith just comes automatically. It's not something you have to even work for, it just comes. And then God starts giving new instructions. Okay, thank you, Jesus, for you. Thank you, Lord, for you, for that tongue-in-cheek thing. Tongue-in-cheek. Let me see here. Wait another second. Wait another second here. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's go here and look at this for a second. Okay. Yeah, I don't know, tongue-in-cheek. He offered a tongue-in-cheek explanation of why his favorite team was losing repeatedly, saying something about keeping the tournament interesting till the last stages. In other words, I don't even know what that means exactly. I'm trying to get a hook on this. Thank you, Jesus. Something said in humor, but with an act of being serious. Okay, say something in an ironic way. I'm just reading what the meaning of tongue-in-cheek, that's where I got the tongue-in-cheek. Say something jokingly, but appearing to be serious. Jocular or humorous, not to be taken seriously. Okay, so I'm not sure what that means exactly. One who speaks, this is conference, speech about the current conditions of the country. Yeah, okay, so anyway, whatever that is. But we thank you, Jesus, for bringing forth the truth, God, that you're using Yuki, God, to bring forth the truth about things, to understand, we battle with truth. Like when Jesus told, who was he told? That what truth is, and he says, and he asked Jesus, what is truth? It was Agrippa. I can't remember who it was. Anyway, Herod, one of the two. And he says, what is truth? He asked Jesus what truth was, because he didn't know what truth was. And so one of the things God wants you to do is to bring forth truth and reveal truth to people about, about not just Jesus, but about things in life, what truth is. Let's get to the truth. Let's get to the truth of the matter. Let's find out what the truth is. Let's don't, judge somebody until we know the truth and find out the facts and find out what's really going on. And God teaching you how to discern when something's being half-baked or said, you know, half-baked and not really the full truth being brought forth. Sometimes even gossip, sometimes people tell half the truth, and then the other half of the truth, the other half is another but a raw lie. And God's showing you, giving you the spirit of discernment how to stop that stuff before it comes, to stop things before they enter in or cause trouble or cause problems. So discerning the truth and knowing what the truth is, and knowing when somebody's telling the half a truth, and knowing why that half truth is being told, what the purpose of it is. Sometimes as many times it's just a lie. Anyway, God's showing you how to walk in that, and maybe that's something what tongue-in-cheek means. I'm not even sure what tongue-in-cheek means exactly. But I think it has something to do with what I just said somehow or another. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, all right, very cool. Let's go here and make another caller. All right, let's go here to 608-960. Oh, who am I talking to? Refund, please.
Hey, Randy, Shannon, Wisconsin.
All right, Shannon. All right, my brother Shannon, thank you, Jesus. I see God like raising the thing on showing you how to, getting your attention, getting your eyes focused on higher level things, like, not looking at the fruit of a thing, but looking at the root of a thing. And showing you what the roots of things are, by the Holy Spirit, so you can deal with them properly. But if we don't deal with the root, then we don't really ever deal with it. It just keeps growing back, same problem over and over and over again. And God's showing you how, like, ask the Holy Spirit, bring me the root truth about this. What are the roots to this thing? Give me the root answer. What are the roots? Because when you deal with the root of something, you go to what really makes it work. Moses knew the ways of God. He went to the roots of why God did things. He wanted to know why. He wanted to know the purpose of things. And so God wants to show you that, open you up to that realm in Jesus' name, so you can, go to the root of things and not just, when you pluck all the bad fruit off the bad tree, it just goes right back, right? So we go to the root of the thing. And God's showing you how to do that with your thoughts, with other people's thoughts. And, through the intention and the motive of people. And, man, in Jesus' name, know what the intention and motive is. You can deal with it. And you get protection and be kept by God. Right? Because you're, when you know the truth is what sets you free. It's no longer, oh, I don't know what's wrong. What's coming at me? I don't know what's coming at me. Well, when you start knowing what's coming at you, then that within itself is protection, if you will. How you protect yourself and where it's coming from, how it's coming in Jesus' name, have a connection, where the connections are at, and breaking free from those connections. All right, 619-309, who am I talking to, where you're from, please? All right, 619-309, are you there? Hello, 619, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, 619.
Hello, it's Chris from Kelly.
It's who?
Chris from Kelly.
I'm sorry, can you hear you? Can you speak into your phone, please?
Chris from Kelly.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for the doors opening up, God, in Jesus' name, and for cutting up those things that are not valuable anymore, God. Letting the things that are not valuable fall to the wayside, God. Cutting the fat, starting. I see things starting over again. Things getting started. Over again, God, cutting away the things that aren't important and being left with what's important. You're a refocus, the focus on what's important in life, what's important, what's really important. Sometimes we make things that are important that are not important, and we get caught up in all this stuff. God says, just focus on what's important. Just focus on what I say is important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things that they added to you. So a lot of people, all they do is seek after the theme, and they forget to seek after God first. And so when we seek after God, God will lead us into finding the things that he wants to have, but it's because we seek him first. It's, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for opening my friend up to that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Being right, doing things that he knows that knows that it's right, what is right, and being right and doing right, and doing it with a clear conscience, so that the enemy can't come along and condemn you and put condemnation on you and accuse you, you know, from things that you just didn't do wholeheartedly. So God's going to show you how to do things wholeheartedly, where you walk away, you go, you know, when the enemy comes and tries to say you didn't do that right, you go like, yeah, I did it with all my whole heart. I know exactly. I did it with everything I did. I did the best I could. And get away from me, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. Get behind me in Jesus' name. Yeah. And so, and God's showing you how to walk free of condemnation, walk free of the things that, because we don't do things, you know, with the whole heart and with, you know, a clear conscience. When we know we did our best, then we always live with the condemnation on that. Like, well, you could have done better. You could have done better. And God's showing you how to do the best you know how to do. It may not be perfect, but you do it with all your heart. You do it with all your strength, all your mind. And therefore, you know, the enemy can't come along and condemn you in Jesus' name. But God is showing you how to, you know, cut all that stuff off, get rid of that stuff, get free of that stuff where it doesn't oppress you and come against you and distract you and cause you problems. And your heart becoming purer and purer all the time because you know you're doing the best you can with what you have. Amen. You're not perfect. You're not going to do it perfectly, but you're going to do it the best you can with all you have. I tell people all the time in the relationships, make sure you did everything you know to do to make that thing right before it ends or before it gets messed up, or, you know, to make sure you walk away so that later on the enemy can't say, oh, you could have done that better. Do everything you know the best you can, and knowing that you did it with your, you know, all you could, and the enemy can't come back and nail you and make you feel condemned. For you failed, you messed up. No, I did the best I could. I have a clear conscience. I did the best I could. You got to show me how to do that. And the main purpose for all that is so that you can move on with life and not always going back to the same old things and having to deal with stuff over and over and over again. Amen? All right, cool. All right, 919-995.
This is Cheryl.
Cheryl? Okay, Cheryl.
Yes.
All right, Cheryl. Bless you, Cheryl. Thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl tonight, God, and thank you, Lord, for the power to deliver the goods, for the power to bring understanding, God giving you understanding of things. Like, it's one thing to see something and you know, watch something happen or get some information. It's another thing to know what it means. It's all about knowing what it means. Like we've talked many times about dreams. Visions. Even Joseph had dreams and visions, but he didn't really know what they meant. Sometimes it's not time to know what they mean. Sometimes God just says, "I gave you and induced you with some good information, and now I want you to be faithful with what you have. You don't have to understand it all, but eventually God's going to give you understanding." Like eventually Joseph came to understand that what his brothers did really was being used by God, even though Satan meant evil by it. God really was trying to get him to his destiny. And so he didn't understand that for a long time. But he just kept serving God, doing the best he could, because he had a dream that God's going to favor him. So he started just, you know, living for God with all of his heart and doing the best he could with everything he had. And then one day he knew that someday, somehow, his brothers would come and bow down to him. He didn't know where or how, but God taught him how to, you know, live with what he had been given and do the best with it, and then eventually you would understand that all that was working a good plan. And in Jesus' name, so God giving you the spirit of understanding, Cheryl, in Jesus' name, knowing that, you know, that you're going to understand things. You will understand things. And understanding always brings healing. Understanding always brings restoration. It brings forgiveness. It brings like, oh, wow, God really did have a purpose. God really has chosen me. God really has picked me. God really has, you know, given me an understanding. God really has, you know, has a purpose for me that's powerful. And God wants you to walk into the highest level of his power, the highest level of his will, 100-fold. Is Jesus saying not the good, not the acceptable, but the perfect will of God? Most people live in the good and acceptable. Very few people live in the perfect will of God, and God's call is people that as a season you can walk in my perfect will. And then Paul said, Paul the Apostle said, I haven't attained to that, but that's my goal. And you keep your goals with God right, and he's going to, because of that, he's going to give you understanding on how to get there. Amen. Being faithful with what you have. And all of a sudden, one day, he opens up your understanding. Oh, what's Satan meant for evil? Yeah, it was evil. God meant for good. Oh, wow. Oh, now I see. Yeah. Understanding, yeah. And you can get the understanding to other people, help them get through their stuff. All right, 719-339. Who am I talking to? Where from, please?
It's Rapi.
It's who?
It's Rapi.
Rapi?
Yes, Rapi. From Colorado.
Okay. Oh, nice to have you. Okay. All right. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight. God, I thank you for God showing me how to, you know, like when God brings something to you, like when he blesses you with something like some, you know, some clothing or some, you know, property or money or whatever the thing is, that God wants to show you how to be a steward to where God can pour his blessings and be an answer of prayer for people. Like he gives you $1,000, you go, man, $1,000, that's really cool. I need $1,000. The Lord says, yeah, 800 of that is for so and so. You go, 800? I only get 200. He said, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, I want to answer some prayer. So you send that person that $800, go, man, I need 800. You send it to them and they go, man, I just prayed for $800 and it's an answer to prayer. Thank you for that, for being an answer of prayer from God. Wow. That's amazing. And then because you did that, God's going to, of course, take your $200 and increase it and multiply it, you know, because you become a vessel that answers prayers for people by giving to them, because sometimes God can't get it to them because they don't have the faith. So he'll give it to you, and, you know, give you wisdom for them, give you understanding for them. You think, what is this for? This is for so-and-so. This is for this person. This is for this circumstance. And when God gives you treasures of information or wealth or blessing or money or favor, whatever it is, and you say, what's this for, God? You always say, what is this for? Who's this for? He'll say, you can keep that. That's yours because you've been faithful in doing other. So, but God is looking for people that he can answer, bring answers to prayer through. You know, like, you know, if they need a car, you get a car, you get, you know, like, oh my gosh, I got a car. And the Lord says, yeah, that's for so-and-so. You go, oh, okay, that's for so-and-so. Okay, I'll do it, give it to them. And they go, man, and they weeping and crying and getting saved and filled the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you became an answer of prayer for them. You became a literal physical person like an angel who brought forth something that they've been praying for and became a blessing to them in Jesus' name. And God enriching you and blessing you because you're willing to do that. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, being a good steward of the grace of God and also, you know, dividing the spoils properly. You know, the spoils are things that God gives us and blesses us with in our warfare, in our life, and our stuff that goes on in life. And when he blesses us, then we're willing to give it out to those who it belongs to. Amen. Yeah, all right. Something like that. It's really awesome. All right, 847-239. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Who?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Okay. Hello. Thank you, Stephanie. All right, hi. Good day, Stephanie. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that favor coming down from, like, when Jesus was baptized by John, the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove, like a dove. Because a dove is purity, it's peace. A dove represents peace. And God bringing peace to you and showing you how to be crowned with peace, how to live with peace. And peace came, you know, when the Holy Spirit came down upon him like a dove and stayed on him, that meant that he had a peace from God that when people tried to rattle him, that he stayed at peace. And God's teaching you how to stay in peace, how to stay in that dove, that peace mentality, that because when it came upon him to stay, John the Baptist knew who the Messiah was, but he said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to come and he's going to stay on him. So when he came like a dove, and stayed on him. Those things that bad peace. So when God's giving you peace, he gives you peace to show you how to live in peace where things don't mess with you, where things don't bring you out of peace. Doesn't mean you don't get disturbed sometimes or have a little anxiety and stress. Doesn't mean we don't have a little bit of that and we go through that a little bit, but we end up in peace. You always end up in peace. Why? Because peace is abiding upon you. God has called you to live in peace and giving you the spirit of peace so that you can have peace, in the midst of turmoil, knowing that, God is with you and that God hasn't forsaken you. And so you know that that's abiding on you, that the peace of God is in you, and you can live in it through every circumstance, through every situation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. What is fear and evil? When you fear evil, when you fear it, what you do, you lose your peace. But when you don't fear evil, that's peace. You live in the realm of peace. God is with me. I know he's with me. And that's what, the Holy Spirit coming on him like a dove and staying on him meant God was saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. My peace is with you. And peace, kept him thinking straight, because when you lose your peace, you get anxiety and stress, right? And we can temporarily have that, but we end up working through, and the peace of God that abides on us brings us to a peaceful moment where we go, okay, God, no matter what, you're with me. And as soon as we say that, no, we fear no evil. We have peace. But when you fear evil, what? When you fear evil, you don't have peace. It's just the opposite of peace, fearing evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the dove of God remains upon me. I fear no evil. Thou art with me. In Jesus' name. And I see God really dosing, putting a dose of that Holy Ghost, that sweet, precious dove of the peace of God in Jesus' name. And God teaching you how to live in that peace. It's on you to learn how to live in it. It's on you to learn how to dwell in it. Because we get something, like in a computer, get in a car, we don't really know everything about it. We have to work it and learn it. So that peace is upon you, Stephanie, in Jesus' name, and showing you how to, walk in it in the midst of when you shouldn't be having peace. God wants to show you peace. Because when you lose your peace, then you make dumb decisions, right? We make anxiety decisions. We make stress decisions. When you live in peace, you keep your mind about you. You don't lose your temporary mind. Oh my God, and panic and do something stupid. That's what losing peace does. That's why maintaining peace is important. So we always we make the right decisions. We don't panic and run and go, oh my God, it's coming. We have peace. Amen. Have peace in Jesus' name. All right. Okay. All right. 803-991.
Hey, Randy. It's Angela
in
South Carolina.
Oh, Angela. Hey. All right. Good to have you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That voice, the voice of God, the voice of God in you. God's really opening up your voice. So where you will hear the voice of God in you. Like many times you hear me say on the show, I listen to the voice when I'm offering myself to God during a show or anything. When I'm a servant, when I'm washing feet, when I'm speaking what God says, I become a servant. I'm a servant. What does that mean? That means he's speaking to me through people and washing their feet, helping their walk, help them walk the walk and help them keep their walk clean. And washed from condemnation, from all the other things, as you were saying. And so, I think what I was going to say about that was that, maintaining that spirit of that anointing, and to be able to serve, and oh yeah, I was going to say to hear the voice of God in your own voice. There you go. You hear the voice of God. So many times I'll be talking, and I go, man, did you hear that? I mean, I just said something, right? Randy just said something with Randy's voice, but I heard the voice of God in my voice. I go, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Man, that's amazing. He was like, what's he talking? He's crazy. He just said that. He said it. Man, he's saying that's amazing? Yeah, because you hear the voice of God in your voice. It's amazing. It is amazing. And so God's showing you how to hear the voice of God in your voice. And Angela, and seeing that, hearing that, and knowing, you know, hey, that was the Lord speaking. Well, people have a hard time thinking, oh, that was God speaking through you, through a frail human being like Randy or Sarah or whoever you are. You know, Angela, yeah. Exactly. That's what he does. He comes inside of us, and we learn to listen to him, and the voice of God speaks to us, and we hear it go like, oh, man, did you hear that? That was amazing. You hear me say that all the time, and it's literally, this is exactly the way I said it. There's no exaggeration. I'm like, oh, my God, did you hear that? That's amazing. You learn to listen to the voice of God in your own voice. That sounds funny to some people, but that's the way it is. So God really showing you how to do that and listening for that, hearing that, and then, you know, obeying God, stepping out and trusting, and you just heard from God. Yeah. It's something that most people have a hard time with, but God's going to show you how to walk in that, girl. Really cool. All right, 610-427.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Prophet Randy.
Hey.
Shalom. I wasn't sure. I had a hard time tonight trying to get through, so I'm calling over the internet.
Lisa from Pennsylvania. All right, Lisa, God, yeah. I'm going to meet you there. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for Lisa. Father, I thank you, Father, for that steady pace and that, ever moving upward, ever moving forward. Ever moving, in the direction of upward and forward, in Jesus' name, and the only time you look back is to look back and say, "Come on," and looking. So the Bible says that you hear a voice behind you saying, "You know, go this way, go that way," and sometimes you turn around and go, "Are you sure?" And the Lord goes, "Yeah, keep going." And so God's showing you how to listen to the voice that is behind you. Because he's behind you for your protection, for your guidance, to watch your back, and to lead you. He leads you from, like when they followed the cloud, the cloud went and they followed. And it's like, so it's the same type of thing, is that God's guidance in you, God's showing you that he's guiding you, that he's leading you, and you have confidence in that he's guiding you. Just like when they saw the cloud move, I mean, they watched the cloud. They're, okay, God's moving, I'm going to pack up and go. And they would go wherever the cloud went. Yeah, and so it's truly amazing that you can learn to follow God just like that. It's just like, we don't know where to go, but he knows. And knowing that he knows that and being able to trust him, and I see a whole other level of trust rising up within you, Lisa, to be able to trust him, to be able to trust that you're hearing from God, to be able to trust that and then you tweak it and get more and more precise and more precision. And knowing that, Paul the Apostle even said he hadn't attained to it, but that's what his goal. He was heading toward, listening to the voice of God and doing only what he saw the Father do. That's what Jesus said. I only do what I see the Father do. So God opening up your knowing ability, that knowing is seeing is knowing is seeing. It's all the same thing. Knowing, people think seeing is they see God in the heavens going that way. And I go, you just kind of get some things going through you. And learning to trust that, learning to trust that God is guiding you, learning to trust that God is leading you, and taking great confidence in that. And, so in Jesus' name, I see your confidence level coming to a higher level, to a higher place, amen, and a higher trust level in Jesus' name in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, especially in the prophetic realm. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 480-799. Who am I talking to today from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Greg from Arizona.
My brother Greg. Greggy. Grega. From the Mega. Mega. What does Mega mean? It's like a Mega. Okay. Hang on a second. Let me look up Grega. Mega. Okay, hang on a minute here. Okay. The word mega, I'm not sure what mega means. M-E-G-A, is that a word? Mega? Uh, Mega, there's something about Mega. Okay, it's a company that makes cloud storage. Mega Millions. Oh, Mega Millions. That's a, well, that's jackpot. That's a, okay, Mega Millions. That's like, Okay, Mega. Okay, I'm not sure what Mega is. Mega, I think, just means big, right? Doesn't Mega mean just Mega mean? Okay, let me redo that. Meaning of Mega. E-G-A. Okay, Greg, I'm trying to get this. Mega means... Okay. Yeah, okay, very large, very huge. Okay, that's what I thought. I just heard the word mega, just like that. When I hear words, I don't always understand, you know, like mega. Like I didn't think about mega. Mega is very large, very huge, extremely. They are mega rich. There's examples, translations, and more definitions. Let's look at mega here. What mega? Mega. Very large in size, extent, capacity, or amount. Okay. All right, so we know mega means great. It means big. So I think it's used for that. Mega is combining form. Is a combining form used like a meaning large, great, grand, abnormally large. Is used in many scientific and medical terms. I'm not sure what that. Just you know, I guess just take it literally. Just like what it means. Mega means big. Like not God. Okay, so I thought that is mega. So thank you, Jesus, for mega, big Greg, for Greg big. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for expanding him, for enlarging his. Capacity to just see in the spirit realm. You've given him a connection to see in the spirit realm. When you see in the spirit realm, you see big. Everything becomes big. You see, you know, God. God is big. God becomes big instead of small. God, oh yeah, little God, no, big God. Like everything's big, like big. Because God has given you a spirit, Greg, to see things big. You're called for giants. You're called to the land of giants to take the giant things. There's a mega thing in you, and I'm not sure where you're at right now. I don't know what's going on with you exactly, but God's wanting to rehearse, bring back to you the mega part of you, the part of you that is called for big things, to see things, the big things, to know big things, to walk in big things, to exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think or imagine. The big, the mega, mega. Greg, mega, Greg Omega, Greg Omega, Greg Omega, Greg Omega. So, Greg Omega, where are you going? Greg Omega, what you going to do now? Yeah. So God's given you an insight or some kind of connection to, you know, big. And so you never are content with the small things. Never content with because God, you know, has given you a large measuring cup to measure things with. And it's like, you know, so it takes a lot to fill that up. And you can be content but not satisfied. You know, the thing to learn how to be content and not satisfied. And so I thank you, Jesus, for Greg, for God, showing him that you have connected him to big, to mega, and to see that, to walk in the land of the giants and to slay the giants like David. David, though he was a young boy, you know, he played the harp, and he slew giants. He was a mega thinker. He thought big about God. He said, yeah, all these other people are afraid of Goliath, but he ain't big to me. You know why Goliath wasn't big to him, Greg? Because he saw God as a big God, and Goliath was nothing in his sight. You know, nothing. And so God opening up that mega faith inside of you, that mega grace, that mega faith, where like little David running toward big Goliath. The reason Goliath wasn't big to him because he saw God as a big God. And God, I thank you, Lord, for opening up that part of Greg that believes big with you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Big, 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 massive, huge. And open it up. Sweep into his soul, Jesus, and open up the mega inside of my brother in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What a big God we serve. Get our eyes off the small thing, little, start seeing the big God, how big God is, and how big God is. Because we get our eyes on the big God, that even the big problems become so small. They become nothing. It's like, I'm not afraid of this, because I serve a big God. I serve a mega God. He's the greatest. He's the biggest. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. That's what David had, a heart after God, because he saw God as big, huge. God opened his faith, washed away all the insecurities, all the things that tried to envelop his mind in Jesus' name, and save him, God, by that mega God, the Spirit of God that is big, that is huge, in Jesus' name, that just swipe, one little swipe changes everything. One little word from God changes, because we got a big God. We serve the big God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That big faith you have in him, God. It may appear little, like a seed of grain of mustard. That's, a mustard seed. A mustard seed faith. Salt looks small, but it's huge. It has huge potential. God, let it never forget, in Jesus' name, the mega God, the big God, the God of David. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, it took down Goliath in one swoop. Everybody else was scared to death of him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, open him up to that dimension, to that place, God, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Sweep over his soul, sweet Spirit of God. Sweep over his soul and wash him, cleanse him, God. Just rebaptize him into the mega God place. In Jesus, the baptism of mega God, the big God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. All right. Looks like that's all the callers we have for tonight. I think I went through and got everybody. We had quite a few tonight, really. So we went through all of them, 25 or 27 or something like that, I don't remember. But so we prophesied over about 25, 27 people, you know, in a couple of hours almost. So awesome. Praise God for his grace. Hallelujah. It's amazing to me how God can do that and speak to people. It's just amazing to me. Amen. I believe in a big God, Greg, and I think God's going to, he's going to open up something there in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's like he's restoring your soul, restoring your faith, restoring your birthrights, your birthright. Not forget your birthright from God in Jesus' name. It's a God birthright. It's a birthright from God. Amen. Not from man, but from God. All right, y'all. Looks like that's my last call with the hand up. So I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. It's only almost midnight. Pray for my eyes. Yes, pray for Shannon's eyes. Tear ducts been so dry lately, they're irritated. Yes, okay. Yes, thank you, Jesus, Lord, I just speak life and blessing. I break off oppression in Jesus' name. I break off vexing. I break off oppression. And I speak that grace and the mercy of God in his life, God, to saturate him, touch his eyes. Nurture him, God. Refill him with the Holy Spirit. Satisfy his longing soul, Jesus, with your love. And heal his body, Father, and restore his soul. Restore his body in the name of Jesus. Tear ducts in Jesus' name. Flood him, God, with the tears of joy, the tears of love, the tears of grace. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, y'all. I guess that's it for me tonight. I'm going to call it a night tonight. I haven't got anybody to pray for. I don't know what else to do. I just kind of get lost. I need people to pray for. I love prayer. That's what we do. Amen, Shannon. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to call it a night tonight, y'all. Thank you very much for your love and for what we do. Thanks for being available to let me pray for you and minister to you. I absolutely love it, as you know. And we love stepping out and walking on the water every night. Every night we walk on the water, one degree to the other. All right, tomorrow's Thursday. See you then. God bless everybody. Pray for the studio. We're, you know, working on it. So praise God. All right, bye-bye.